The University of Detroit Mercy presents another brand new episode of Ask the Professor. Today's program was recorded using Zoom video conferencing technology.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with the University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left-ish, it's Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Excellent. So how's the basement over there, Dave? Is it dry?
So far, so good. I mean, no flooding yet. Hopefully nice. It won't. I've got way more stuff than the last flood, so I don't want to deal with it.
It's wild. Absolutely wild.
It is.
Professor Jim Tubbs is here.
Hello, hello. How are you?
How's it going, Jim?
Good. I don't have a basement that's flooded because I don't have a basement. So that's good.
You were in the catbird seat, like literally, man.
I wouldn't say that. Usually I want a basement. I want all that place to just throw stuff, you know?
Except for on days like this. I think the final count from the NOAA was 4+ inches in a very short period of time.
Wow. So,
Professor Beth Oldar is here. She's on her brand new computer.
But still being challenged by technology. Somehow or other, it was the privacy settings that were preventing the microphone. So I was... This drives me absolutely mad when things like this happen. And I can't figure out, so now Monday, what am I going to do if my headphones don't work?
Oh, no.
I'll have to call Dave over the weekend and try them out and see if I can fix it.
Well, I'll tell you what, it looks to me like, you know, with every little thing you learn, you're getting better. You said something about this morning. Did you lose power or internet?
Well, Drew said he lost all power downstairs, TV, internet, everything. I mean, I still have my lights up here and my computer still worked, although I got, kicked off I lost my internet connection.
I see.
Yeah. A good 5 minutes of, trying before I got back into the Collaborate session, but they all said the queen is back when I got back online. So, that was pretty cool.
That is awesome. This morning I was on a recitation at 8 a.m. and all I really wanted to do, because it's the first one, was share a few documents, walk them through some of the things they already have. And just on Collaborate, you click the share button, nothing happens.
Just
nothing. Everything else working fine, just no sharing. I'm like, we're going to wing this so hard, I'm going to flap all the way to New York at this point. So,
are you sharing a Word doc?
I just wanted to walk them through this big PDF that I give them at the beginning of the semester. And I said, okay, if you're looking at it, look at page 3, middle of the left side. That's the way it had to be, that's the way.
So far I've been lucky with the both sharing applications, which is what you have to do when you have a Word doc, and sharing files as PowerPoint presentations, but I haven't tried other PDFs, so...
Professor Jason Roach is here with us today, our executive producer. You have a little kid zoo going on at your house today.
Yes, we do. Two little ones of our own and two that we're watching for a friend. So they play together and you hear them in the background. They play loudly together.
That's awesome.
As kids should.
Yeah, exactly. It reminded me, Jason, when you were bringing your children on the camera a little while back, that the big internet to-do that's totally tame but still very funny this week was someone screen-grabbed the professor lecturing and saying, oh, that's my cat. And then the chat just starts blowing up, show cat, show cat, show cat. I love it. I love it.
Yep.
The new
my
world.
Students love it when I show the kids, too. I usually have them come over and say hi at the beginning and then, hi. And I'm like, well, they can't see you because you're not turning on your cameras, students. You got to turn on. Mm-hmm. And then the ones that turn them on, Seth will say hi to him by name.
Oh,
that's so cute. I'm going to turn my camera on.
That's so cute. Oh, my gosh. And guess what, folks? This is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can find us on either Facebook or Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by saying, play Ask the Professor from University of Detroit Mercy. When last the Justice League was together, We were finishing off some questions sent to us with wonderful background sent to us by Kimberly Richards. So we're going to finish those off today.
I'm Wonder Woman, just for the record, if we're doing Justice League.
Roger that. And one of the big losses this summer, Beth, was all these movies that were supposed to come out. And that Wonder Woman 84 looks really good.
It does.
Oh, we have
I'm the Invisible Man. Here.
Hey, wait. Visible Shoulder Man.
Yeah. I'm John Cena. You can't see me.
Oh, dear Lord.
Who discovered the ancient Inca city of Machu Picchu?
Cortez?
It was just to make it clear that it wasn't Cortez. We're talking someone stumbling across it in 1911.
Oh,
Foster Brooks.
Teddy Roosevelt?
No, but that's a pretty good guess, I'd say.
I got the era. On continent.
The initials are HB.
Hellbent?
Sounds like a pencil grade.
Partial credit.
I guess Indiana Jones isn't right either, then. It's a good guess.
Well, this is a long shot here, but there is a township close to where we all live.
Harrison?
Half of the township is Franklin, and the other half, first word, is the B. So Franklin is paired up with Bingham Farms. The man's name is Hiram Bingham, was his name.
Oh. And,
he found this royal estate or sacred religious site to the leaders of the Incas, which of course had stood for hundreds of years before he actually located it in 1911.
With a weed whacker, right?
He was just looking for a place to put some stuff. And then
stuff.
Yeah,
like elevated stuff. Kind of
in the basement, right?
High up stuff.
How do the people of the great country of Poland bid farewell to their winters? What do they do at the end of winter?
Sunbathe?
That's a good guess. That's not what it says here.
Do they burn like an article of clothing? You know, like sacrifice a toque or something like that?
They don't burn something. You know what they do? They, in effigy, I assure you, drown something.
Ooh.
Old man winter?
Their liver?
It's basically it, except for in Polish tradition, it's a young girl who represents winter, and they make an effigy of her. They drown it in effigy and then say goodbye to winter, and they get ready for spring. So,
thank goodness it's an effigy.
Yes.
That's pretty gruesome, I was going to say.
The girl's name is Marzana. Her name is Marzana. And to get rid of the negative aspects of Marzana, festival goers toss remains into a river or lake to drown symbolically.
Ooh.
Hey, if Zoom has taught me anything, it's that somebody is joining us right now. It's Professor Mara Livesey.
Yay!
Hey, Mara.
Thanks for joining us.
Good to be here.
You couldn't stay away, could you?
My meeting ended early. Yes.
Excellent.
Good.
So we're doing some questions from our last show with Kimberly Richards, Mara. Let's see. Oh, here we go. I'm pretty sure that folks will, at least one of us will know, that the capital of Liberia is named after a U.S. president. What is
Monroe?
Monrovia.
Yeah, Monrovia. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Founded in 1822, Kimberly writes, Monrovia is named in honor of James Monroe, a prominent supporter of the colonization of Liberia. Along with Washington, D.C., it's one of the two national capitals on Earth named after U.S. president. As the fifth president of the U.S., Monroe is known for his doctrine, disallowing further European colonization in the Americas. Monroe, who died in 1831, was one of the last of America's founding fathers. What is the most visited country in the world based on the total number of influx of tourists? It's absolutely incredible. Are you ready? 89 million tourists in 2017. That's incredible.
I was going to say the U.S.
It isn't. It's not the U.S.
I was going to say France.
It's France. That's right. Absolutely. Incredible crown. It goes without saying the French capital is a huge draw for foreign visitors, more than any other city on earth. There's the city's romantic image, stunning architecture, the Louvre, the Eiffel Tower. With an estimated over 82 million travelers, Spain was ranked as the second most visited country, for the record, beating the U.S. in 2017.
Good for them.
We're watching the Olympics, the Summer Olympics in Barcelona, so I want to say 92 maybe, and thinking, that looks like a really great city. I'd love to go there.
Oh, it is. It is a great city, yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. Where is the small community boasting Europe's longest place name found?
Wales.
It is. It's Wales.
That's off the top of her head. My mother-in-law was Welsh, and she could actually pronounce the name of that town. Yeah.
This in one is, breath?
Yeah.
Kimberly has supplied me with the phonetics. Landfire, Pulgwyn, Gilgagair, Uckwyn, Droblitsili, Ogagagak. And for the record, yes, their website is that.co.uk.
Oh, gosh.
So you better bookmark that one, is all I got to say. Oh, my God.
God forbid you have to do it on a cell phone.
It's on the island of Angsley along the western coast of Britain and Wales. The extravagant name, when translated, means St. Mary's Church is a hollow of white hazel near the swirling whirlpool of the church of St. Cilio with a red cave.
I can remember that easier.
All I got to say about the Welsh, Beth, is I've only met probably three or four actual Welsh people in my entire life. Every single person is convinced that they are born with the best singing voice of any person on planet. Oh, it's incredible.
Tom Jones, Shirley Bassey.
Some of them, like Catherine Zeta-Jones, don't have to sing.
Yeah.
In what country does Mount Kosciuszko claim the title as the highest mainland mountain? Mount Kosciuszko.
Poland?
It's not Poland. That's a great guess.
It seems like it would be Hungary or some sort of Central European. I mean, Poland was what I thought too, but Czechoslovakia somewhere, or Czech Republic.
Austria.
You know, it's not Europe.
Oh.
Mount Kosciuszko, it's not Europe?
No, it is in, let's see.
South America?
The second or the third least likely place for you to guess is where it is.
Clawson, Michigan.
Clawson is always a good guess. You know, it's on...
our highest hill in Clawson would be around probably the skateboard park. A couple little ramps to go over.
Wait, did someone recently put a plaque there that says Mount Kosciuszko?
Just the highest point in Clawson, I think.
Is it like Australia?
It's Australia, the highest point of Australia.
Okay.
Kosciuszko, just a little bit southwest of Sydney, 7,310 feet above sea level. Yes.
And it was named after?
That's a great question.
All right.
Probably somebody sent there. Probably sent there on a prison ship. Yeah.
Exactly. Named after a wallaby or a kangaroo.
It seemed very high. I mean, Mount Rainier is 14,000 feet. Maybe I just come from part of the country with really high mountains, but.
Oh, it's true. That's quite true. Australia is relatively flat. What is the largest country on the continent of Africa in terms of land size?
Egypt.
It's not Egypt.
Libya. Algeria?
Dave, what did you say?
Algeria?
It is. It's Algeria. Yep. The People's Democratic Republic of Algeria, to be specific, with an area of 919,595 square miles. It's actually the 10th largest country in the world. We live in an era, I don't think I need to say that to this group, where the Mercator dimensions on most world maps have minimized the size of the continent of Africa. So we don't even really, from our grade school roots, have an ability to understand how big the country of Algeria is.
You know, there's an episode of The West Wing, because they have this tradition where people who normally don't get the ear of the White House get to go and plead their case. One of them is the cartographers for social justice. Exactly this point, right?
About, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it totally freaks CJ out. I remember that.
Well, that was a fantastic set of questions from Kimberly. Thank you so much. And as always, Kimberly, send us some more.
You're listening to a special edition of Ask the Professor, in which each of the six professors participating in this recording session were connecting to each other from different locations, thanks to Zoom video conferencing technology. We're grateful to those listeners who submitted questions for today's program, and we welcome your questions at atp@udmercy.edu. The professors return to answer more questions in just 60 seconds, but first, it's an Ask the Professor presidential election flashback.
And we're back with our questions from Vicky Faldi, who asked about presidents here and presidents' wives. What is unique about John Quincy Adams' wife, Louisa?
She was a man.
No, that's not.
That would be unique.
Hey.
That would be unique, yes.
Was she college educated?
No, it
was
has
she
something
foreign
to do
born?
With her. Yes.
Yeah, she was born in England?
That's it.
Yeah, okay.
That's it. She's the only first lady born in another country.
Mm.
Traitor.
Yeah.
And that man was president.
Yeah.
Wow.
But boy. Hillary went to Moscow, didn't she, with Bill back in college?
Yeah, you see.
Probably.
You rest your case.
I think
right
she was
there.
In grade school at the time.
Vote and make your voice count. Election Day is Tuesday, November 3rd.
You know, we have a very interesting set of questions sent in here. They're called Random for $250, Alex.
Ooh.
Sent to us by Charlie B. of Traverse City, Michigan. And apparently 16 of 18 to pass. Wow, those are standards.
That's tough.
A set of 18 random questions with no binding tie in sight. Let's see what we can do. Let's start with a couple softballs. If you were paying attention to the news this week, which amendment gave women the right to vote in the United States, and what year was it ratified?
The 19th Amendment in 1920.
Yep, 100 years ago.
100th anniversary this last week. Yes, mm-hmm. Fantastic. The 19th Amendment. In cooking, why do we use the word fond, F-O-N-D?
Why do we use it, or what is it?
What is it?
Who is we?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Wait, I got a mouse in there.
Paying something or frying something, those little bits that get on the bottom of a pan?
Yep, that's right.
We call it gritty.
You add wine or stock or something and deglaze it to make a sauce?
Oh, yeah, you got it.
Ooh.
Used to watching Food Network, and I would have just said like brown bits or something, but fond sounds way more cool. Okay, what does the French word aubergine mean in English?
Eggplant.
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 And it is Diane Manica's favorite color, and I think her favorite word.
It's a beautiful worst vegetable.
It is. Is a festival, Mara?
The worst vegetable, excuse me.
The worst vegetable.
Oh, no, but it's a great color.
Wait, but why is it worse? Really? Who rated this?
Me.
Oh, I love eggplant parmesan. Oh, it's wonderful.
Mara, what's your beef with eggplant?
So my beef with eggplant's the same as my beef with zucchini. If you don't cook it right, it's just soggy.
Well, that's true. But if you do cook it right, it's delicious.
Yeah. You it does kind of end up like snot if it's steak. Not right. So, yeah.
You want to know what's really the worst, though? German sausages. The worst.
Oh,
backwards, never worse.
My dad used to call parsnips and turnips and rutabagas trick vegetables. I don't know why, but he did.
I love it.
I could do without turnips and rutabagas, frankly.
Who is Elton John's longtime music collaborator?
Bernie Taupin.
That's right. The yep. great Bernie Taupin.
Enough to make you think there might be a benevolent. I mean, Bernie Taupin and Elton John meeting is like Lennon and McCartney meeting. Like, maybe there is a God after all, right? If we're getting these two.
That's right.
Oh, and Elton John's feud with Madonna. Have you guys seen that lately?
Really?
He has it out for Madonna. Was it? I think he called her something like a was it like a state fair diva or something like that?
I thought they fixed things.
Oh, I guess they're still at it.
No, well.
And yeah, I don't know if you guys saw, was it Madonna turned 62 last week?
She looks good for 62.
Yeah, but did you see what she posted on Instagram? She pulls out a plate of marijuana and she's hanging out with her 25-year-old boyfriend.
Oh, my.
With her six children around her.
Hmm.
Living life, you know.
Mara gives a double thumbs up. I'm starting to get a little bit of background on who the secret identity of Charlie B might be. What's the probability of rolling a sum of six if you have two fair dice?
Two threes, four and two, five and one.
Three and three.
50-50.
One out of 12, right?
Basically, Beth came the closest because it's not just the two and the three. It would be three and two would be another combination. So it's five out of 36 possible rolls is what it is.
Five out of 36.
Okay. Beth had basically listed them all except for the permutations. That's literally what it says here. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, it had to be some sort of disjunctive event, right? This or this or this or this, right? Has to happen. Right. I just wasn't going to do the math.
Exactly.
Can you name the four largest moons of Jupiter, called often the Galilean moons? He saw them first, quote unquote.
Titan?
Is Io one of them?
Io is number one. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
It's one that starts with a C, right?
Was Io?
Phoebe?
No Joey, no Ross, no Marcel. One is named after, the continent where white people come from.
Europa,
yes. We actually have a senior biochemistry major, Professor Livesey, who has the female version of this male version Greek name as one of the moons.
As a first name.
Her last name is Esterline.
Callista.
Yeah, so it's Callisto. We have a Callisto. And the last one
this semester.
Oh, there you go. Cool. Can't miss a name like Callista. Let's be serious.
No, it's a great name.
The fourth one is Ganymede. I tried really hard to think
Ganymede.
Oh. To think of a clue.
Tip of my tongue.
Yeah, we're getting there.
The only reason I could have gotten that right is because I didn't play Monopoly growing up. I played Solar Quest, which was the Monopoly of the solar system.
Of course you did.
What is the only mammal that flies, that actually flies and not glides?
Bats.
Yeah. We're not allowed to say squirrels, it says here, because they only glide.
Mm.
Now, if you throw them far enough.
And anybody who grew up reading Calvin and Hobbes knows that bats are bugs.
They're just really big, hairy, ugly bugs.
Yeah, but they eat mosquitoes.
They are hairy.
They do. They really eat the mosquitoes.
Name the person who is reportedly depicted, and we're going to hear a lot about this, by the way, a lot in the coming months, in the logo for the National Basketball Association. That's actually a silhouette of a person.
Jerry West.
Yeah, it's Jerry West.
There is a lot of talk about replacing him with either Michael Jordan or LeBron James. Yeah. Hmm. Oh, my. So apparently this word is real. And if you just let your mind take you there, you'll get its definition quickly. R-U-E-L, a truel. What is a truel?
Can you use it in a sentence?
That, I'm afraid, is a little too much of a context clue.
Darn.
Is it a kind of mushroom?
No, but that's a good guess.
Animal, vegetable, or mineral?
No, I think that you have to think quite a bit more literally to get this one.
A truel.
I was expecting Dave's facetious response to be spot on, and then we'd move.
It's like something duel. That's true.
Three appointment opponents.
Yeah, it's a three-way duel. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
How does that work?
In which players can fire at one another in an attempt to eliminate them while surviving themselves. So I guess it's just a duel with better odds? Is that...
I don't know. It could be worse odds.
It could be worse odds, yes.
I mean, that's like Kevorkian odds, isn't it? I mean,
you've got two chances of getting bumped off in that one.
Oh, my gosh. That was really funny. I'm sorry. That was really, really funny. I was just sure that Dave was going to say, is it a duel for three? Well, that's it. Yeah, we got it. Oh, my gosh. So the loudest animal in the world can make individual noises that are as high as 230 decibels. That's a big deal when, like, in the hundreds, that's a jet engine. That's like standing next to a jet engine. So it's really loud. What is the loudest animal in the world?
Whales?
It is. It's a whale. Yeah.
That's what I would think.
We perceive it differently because we almost always hear it through water. And if it was through air, I'm guessing that our eardrums would explode or something.
I was going to say it was one of Jason's children during a, you know, if they're hungry, that's also.
Let's not listen to whale song through air then. I think that's something we want to avoid.
Yeah.
Didn't we see this in Star Trek?
Hippie guy.
Yeah, Star Trek the movie.
Let's not invite any blue whales to speak to us in the air.
Okay, one of those classic do you know your Greek phobia questions. What is Megarophobia? Megarophobia.
Fear of Scotland?
Fear of kilts, tartans.
Megarophobia.
I can't even think of a way to connect these 2 points. Wow.
M-Y or M-A?
It's M-A-G-E-I-R-O-C-O, phobia.
It's fear of wise men.
You know, I think it's something that all of us do every day at some point.
Fear of blinking?
Mm-mm. I like that guess, though. It's a fear of cooking. That would be a tough fear to have as a human being.
Yeah, I would.
But now you can order all your food online if you really want to. So I suppose, and just unless microwaving counts as cooking too, then you're probably.
It does.
Last one here from Charlie B of Traverse City, Michigan. What was the first animated movie to get nominated for an Oscar as Best Picture?
Snow White.
You know, it wasn't. It was 1991.
Was Cars, was it? No.
Mermaid?
91. Was it Disney?
Beauty and the Beast.
It was Beauty and the Beast. Yeah.
Beauty and the Beast.
Did not win that year, but that was the first time ever an animated film. And now there are like, I'm exaggerating, of course, but like 50 nominees. Half of them are live action movies. The other half are streaming, blah, 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 blah. I'm afraid the time has come to say goodbye, Mara.
Goodbye.
Jason.
Adios.
Beth.
Bye.
Jim.
Bye.
Dave.
See ya.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed, you know, where we all live. Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville. And our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Till next week, I'm your host, Matt Miles.